Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Sports Illustrated Big Ten writer Dustin Schutte. A busy, busy man this week with March Madness going on and the conference tournament.
Yes, it's a good type of busy. We got I'll be back in Indianapolis tomorrow with the Big Ten men's basketball tournament starting. And then I'll be like that old TV show slash game, Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? Because I'm not sure where I'll be headed for March Madness. But the good thing is I've been able to rack up some free nights on my Marriott Bonvoy app, Jim. So I get free hotel stays.
Very nice. Very nice. So I assume you'll be following some Big Ten teams, probably Purdue.
Yep, probably mostly Purdue throughout. I mean, all of them throughout the Big Ten tournament, and then probably primarily Purdue in the NCAA tournament.
Got it. Before we get rolling into football, while we are chatting basketball, a week ago, you were adamant that my Nittany Lions were not worthy of making it to the Big Ten tournament. And so they went out there and spanked a ranked Wisconsin team on Wisconsin's home court. So, Dustin, not that that proves me right and you wrong. I'm just throwing that out there.
You just decided to also wear your Penn State shirt today, for those who may not be able to see, to rub it in my face a little bit, but that's okay. That's okay. I would be taking a victory lap if I was you as well.
No. See, that's not my style, Dustin. That's not me. I'm just putting out facts. Nothing more, no opinion, nothing else. Just let the listeners decide for themselves. If they want to decide I'm right on that issue and you're wrong, that's totally on them, not me. I'm just reporting facts, Dustin.
You know what? That's fair. I think it is up to the listeners. We'll let them decide.
For those who don't know, we talked about it last week. The Big Ten conference, in their infinite wisdom, they have 18 teams in the conference. So traditionally, all conferences in their conference and basketball tournament have always had everybody makes the tournament. Might be a quick exit for teams at the bottom. Penn State suffered a lot of injuries this year. They ended up in the bottom three, so they didn't make the 15-team tournament. I thought that they should just have all the 18 teams in. If those teams aren't worthy, hey, they'll head home early. It'll be one and done for them. And just to show that those teams were kind of capable of making some noise in the tournament, Penn State went out and beat a ranked Wisconsin team who had been in the top four in the Big Ten prior. All right, Dustin, that was not on my agenda. It just came up organically since you were talking Big Ten hoops. Let's shift over. I actually want to make this all about not just football, but the quarterback position, Dustin. And first of all, before we get into specific names throughout the conference, just in general, it feels like the quarterback position, not so much how they play the game, but how you acquire that talent, has really been in flux over the last several years.
Yeah, I mean, I think the old method was you go out and you recruit and you develop somebody who's going to come in. Usually you would see it as like a junior or senior, but then it went back to like you would see more sophomores start to play. And then all of a sudden it became, well, if you're good enough as a freshman, you're going to come in and you're going to start immediately. And now I feel like, Jim, we have this, I don't know if balance is the right word, but this situation where you go out and you're going to recruit a kid who can come in and play immediately, or you're going to go find a kid in the transfer portal who you think can step in and immediately play. I don't want to say there's no development, but it's getting more and more difficult, I think, for coaches with the microwave society that we're in, and you have to win now. I think it's getting harder and harder for coaches to go out and develop a quarterback, because not that they don't want to, but that position seems to have little patience if they're not playing. So it's kind of changed the dynamic of how you have to cater to that position almost.
It is a unique position on the field because everywhere else, if it's a line offensive lineman, well, you have five of them that could play. Even at running back, you may only play one running back, but it's okay to rotate them. In fact, it's encouraged now. At quarterback, it's the one position where you have the one guy, and anyone else is probably not going to play very much. But you talked about how it changed from you before you'd need to develop them for a few years. It would be you'd be a junior or senior before you got on the field. I have a theory that some of that has changed where these quarterbacks are ready sooner because there's better coaching at the high school level. And there's also these guys get their own personal quarterback coach now at the high school level.
Yeah, that's a big part of it too. And I think the other thing is there is you go in the spring, and I don't know about the summer, but I know in the spring there's a lot of these different camps, like a lot of these recruiting websites or will put on basically showcases, right? And then it's almost turned into AAU basketball in a sense of you can go, it seems like just about any weekend when there's not college, high school, or pro football being played, and you can find a 7-on-7. Right. And that's all passing. That's because there's very little pass rush on that. It's basically you have your quarterback, your wide receivers, maybe a couple linemen, and then it's all defensive back. So that's all throwing the football. And so I think that kind of adjustment to the game has allowed quarterbacks to be more prepared at an earlier time. And I think you're right about the coaching. It's getting better at the high school levels. I also think that part of this too, Jim, is there was also almost a level of toughness that you had to have to play that position because you were going to get your butt kicked. Maybe not every week, but there were going to be days when you go up against big, bad, burly defensive linemen. And while that's certainly still the case, I don't want to say the way they've catered to that position, but the way they protect that position now, I think it makes it a little bit easier because you're not taking those kind of hits. Like you don't have to, it's just different, but I think it prepares kids earlier to be able to walk into a big time situation and be a starting quarterback. We've seen that we've seen it in every conference, right? I mean, like, and I don't know if you have a better example, but I think Johnny Manziel was the first one that I remember kind of walking in as a freshman. I don't think he redshirted. I think he was a true freshman when he was the starter at Texas A&M. But ever since then, it's really just been like, now guys are, if they're true freshmen and they're ready to go, there's no hesitation to throw them into the fire right now.
You make a good point there, how they are protected. I'm thinking there's the rules committee is looking at a new rule for next season where the quarterbacks get to wear a skirt, Dustin. I'm not sure if you're aware of that. It's an obscure rule change, potential rule change, I should say. yeah, I hope I don't run into any collegiate quarterback anytime soon who has heard that. The other thing that I think adds with this, Dustin, is it's almost automatic at the quarterback position that they are finishing up their high school career in December. So that when they should be finishing up high school in the spring, they are already in the strength and conditioning program of their school of choice. They're going through spring practice and maybe even the spring game. That's a huge, huge advantage.
Yeah, that's a good point. And not only do they get into the training program, but then you've got all this technology where you can, I mean, your health and nutrition is taken care of. You get little monitors to, and I think Penn State is probably the first school I remember doing this where they track your sleep and how good of sleep you're getting. So all that stuff. And then also what that does, not only from the physical standpoint and getting to know an offense and getting to know the system and all that kind of stuff, but then it prepares you to, okay, how am I going to handle college and football at the same time, right? Like it's kind of that bridgeway from high school to college. It gives you a chance to, you know, in the spring, you're only practicing however many dates you get, 15 or whatever. Yes. The number is. But it allows you to kind of start to understand what that balance is going to be like, school and football. And the other aspect of this, Jim, too, is I've talked with former players about this, and I don't think this is the case because of the amount of recruiting trips people can take and visits you can go on. And like we just talked about, the different showcases and, you know, specific, not only quarterback, but all positions have, you know, certain camps they can go to. There used to be a time when some of these players that would play, this isn't just for the quarterback, but they would have never have traveled on a plane before, right? And so there's a lot of this adjustment period. So that's something as simple as that. It kind of messes with your psyche a little bit. So maybe you're nervous about flying in or flying out, and you're not 100% focused on the game. But a lot of these kids now, with the amount of travel they have to do to take these recruiting visits and do these different things, I think that's also kind of mentally prepared them to things that weren't maybe available. It probably was 10 years ago, but maybe 20 to 25 years ago, there might have still been some guys on the team that had never flown before until they got to college, right? So I think there's a lot of different things, not just from the physical standpoint, but the mental aspect of the game too has really changed.
A couple quick things on that. Now, I'm an old guy, so when I went to college, it was a long, long time ago, Dustin. The first time I stepped on a plane, I was a senior in college for a job interview. That was the first time I ever got on a plane. So you're right. These kids with these camps, they do the travel. It also puts them up against comparable talent, which wasn't the case years ago. And it's even reached the point, if you look at many of the top-rated high school players, they're from Pennsylvania but played high school football in Florida. They're now going to top-level programs when they're at high school.
Yeah, that's another big element. Like what you got, St. Thomas Aquinas and IMG Academy and all these other places, a lot of places in Texas you can go. Yeah, that's another good point. Like there's just so many things where in the old days, it was just you're playing high school football. And if you might be playing up against, I don't know what it is in Pennsylvania and Indiana, it's different classes. So you have 1A, 2A, 3A, the higher the number, the bigger the school. And so obviously a lot of the 4A and 5A kids played against players who were Division I skilled or, you know, at least lower level college football players. But if you played in the 2A, and I had a few friends that played and then went on to play at Purdue, it was a bit of a culture shock, right? Because it's just a completely different ballgame. So that's that's another really, really good point of how all of these things are kind of developing over time.
All right, Dustin, that's it for quarter number one. We'll pick up this quarterback conversation right after this break.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Dustin Schutte. I'm Jim Galante. It's quarter number two of our show. This is our Big Ten quarterback show. And Dustin, quarter number one, we were talking just generically about how the quarterback position has changed. And it's now, I almost feel like it's become a strategy to, you know what? We don't really need to recruit a quarterback. We'll just wait till they kind of define how good or bad they are. And I'll just go into the portal and grab a quarterback.
Yeah, I think and especially it may not be the case for every program, but I think it's especially the case for the programs that are in a really good financial situation with their NIL, because, and I'm sure we'll talk about this, Ohio State can probably have just about any quarterback at once. I would say the same is probably accurate for Texas, right? So they have the opportunity to not only they have like Ryan Day Steve Sarkisian, those type of guys have the best of both worlds, right? They can go out and they can recruit a five-star quarterback and get them to sign on the dotted line. And then when the portal opens up, they can go say, they can go get, oh, hey, Will Howard's available. We think he's going to fit our system. We'll try to bring him in and see. And then basically you have a competition there. So you're in a really good position because you got a 1A and a 1B. Same thing down at Texas. Now, I don't remember who he was competing with, but Quinn Ewers obviously left high school early, went to Ohio State, then entered the transfer portal after one season and goes back to Texas to play. So some of these schools are in a really good situation, but there's other programs like Indiana and Purdue and Illinois where it's really hard to get some of those players, and it can be really hard to get, you know, those high three-star, low four-star guys where if they're not playing right away, to get them to stay, to develop them. So they're almost forced to go into the portal and say, hey, hopefully we can find a guy who fits our system, who fits our culture to come in here. But, it is the way of the world. Like, it's rare these days where if you don't have a guy returning, where you're not at least taking a flyer on somebody and maybe he won't be the starting quarterback for you. I'm going to use an example here where it's Jack Tuttle, who played at Indiana for a while, and he went to Michigan. Well, Jack Tuttle wasn't the starting quarterback, but he did provide them with some depth, right? So even if you get a guy who's not maybe necessarily going to be your starter, to have quality depth in a sport where you play not just 12 regular season games, but now if you want to win the college football playoff, you're going up to potentially 17 games. Having depth at that position is going to be more and more important the further we get along, especially if they look into expanding the playoff.
Yes, that's a huge, huge issue with the playoffs. I hadn't thought about it in relationship to quarterback. And if you, in talking about this as a strategy going to the portal, we're going to look at a few of the programs within the Big Ten who do it the different ways. At Penn State, they've not brought in a transfer portal quarterback. They want to, you know, develop their own. Now, I think a little bit their cycle got interrupted here where Drew Aller was supposed to be here for 3 years, then go on to the NFL. Bo Prabula, who came in the same class as Drew Aller, he redshirted his first year, which now staggered him 1 year from Drew Aller. And he would have, you know, been in the program 2 years and still had multiple years of eligibility left. Well, Drew Aller mucked up the plan a bit by saying he was going to return another year, which did lead to Bo Prabula leaving. So it kind of staggered them a little bit. It will be interesting to see if James Franklin does exactly what you talked about, maybe bring a portal guy in just for depth alone. Now, other schools, we look at Oregon, is going to start their third straight transfer quarterback this year. Now, Dante Moore has been in the program. He's not going to go directly starting from another program to starting at Oregon, but he's a third straight transfer quarterback. Indiana, you mentioned, Kirk Cignetti had tremendous success last year with Curtis Rourke. He's got another transfer quarterback who's going to step right in, who had starting experience at Cal. So you compare that, Dustin, to, hey, we're going to go get the best high school recruit we can, maybe even throw him out into the fire. Michigan, Bryce Underwood is who I'm thinking of. The downside to that, Dustin, even though I think it sounds better, develop our own, this getting that five-star quarterback is no guarantee. A couple seasons ago, I did a look at the five-star quarterbacks over the previous 7 years. Over half of them could be described as a bust.
Yeah, and not only that, but a lot of those guys too, this was years ago, Jim, but a lot of those guys had transferred. Like a lot of the top, so just because they commit to your program does not mean they are staying. So do you want to invest the time to put into those players just to have them leave? Now, obviously there's no guarantee one way or another, right? It's just because you bring in a guy and he doesn't play doesn't mean he's automatically going to leave. And just because you bring in a guy and he does play doesn't mean he's going to stay, right? Like there's a lot of different variables. There's a lot of different situations out there. I do think that the pressure is on when you bring in a kid today, especially at the quarterback position. I think other positions you can probably get away with it a little bit more because, as you mentioned, you can rotate guys in on the offensive line. You can rotate guys in at wide receiver, tight end, running back, different defensive positions. But for some reason at the quarterback spot, it's like if I'm coming in as a five-star quarterback and I don't play right away, I'm hitting the transfer portal. So, yeah, I don't it's a tough thing to do. And sometimes, Jim, I also wonder if there's almost a mindset of, and I've thought this for a long time now, but it's more, maybe it's less relevant, I don't know, where I feel like certain coaches may go out and recruit five-star guy, and then they may say, you know what, we're going to go recruit this five-star guy, but we also know we're going to go into the portal and grab this guy. And the reason they're getting that five-star quarterback is if I'm Penn State, that way Ohio State doesn't get him. That way Michigan doesn't. Now, they might transfer after a year or so, but at least I got him in my program, and that means he's got a shot to stick with me. And so I do wonder sometimes if it's like, look, we don't know if this kid's going to work out or not, but I do know that I don't want Ohio State to get him, or I don't want Michigan to get him. I don't want Texas to get him because that's going to be a problem for us. So I do wonder if that's part of the mindset too. Now you won't be able to do that maybe as much anymore because of the roster limitations that they're going to come up with. So you can't just hoard a bunch of different quarterbacks, Ohio State, but, I do think that that's been in the thought process at least for the last couple seasons.
Well, I think there are different strategies for different programs. And, you know, just going back for a second to this, you know, the five-star guy, we use the expression five-star probably a little bit too generically. I don't like the way they rank the five-star, four-star. I'd almost prefer they, because I believe there's typically like 35 stars throughout the country.
Yeah. Right.
And it's a very small number. I think of it more as top 100 players as that elite group.
Yeah.
And Ohio State, you know, their four stars are top 100 guys, even though four stars go through like number 300, 350 or whatever. So if you say, you know, top 100 players, Ohio State will have like four or five quarterbacks on their roster.
Mm-hmm.
Who are top 100 players. Just to James Franklin recruited Drew Aller a few years ago, who was in some places the number one quarterback in the country. Do you know how many top 100 quarterbacks James Franklin brought in prior to Drew Aller?
I'm going to guess that number is zero.
You would be correct, sir. Do you know what? Do you know what the highest ranked number for a quarterback was? Just approximately, your guess.
Player rank or quarterback rank?
Player rank. Drew Aller.
Oh, boy. I'm going to guess it was 275.
And who was the player?
I feel like I missed. Was it Sean Clifford?
Yes, but okay. he was ranked right around 200, 210, something okay. like that.
A little bit higher, yeah.
So they didn't have a quarterback in the top 200, and, you know, Ohio State would have five of those guys on their roster at the same time. So it's definitely a different – I don't want to say a different strategy because I think James Franklin would gladly take, you know, those five players. Yeah. But you have a mindset – and at Ohio State of, we'll just keep bringing in all this talent and we'll thin the herd as we go, because they had, remember, this is a school that they couldn't hold on to Joe Burrow because Joe Burrow couldn't win the job.
Right. Isn't that something crazy? And then he just goes and wins a national championship a couple of years after he transfers. Yeah, I mean, it's what's interesting to me, like, I almost think Penn State's a unique situation where they don't always get the high five-star quarterback, but I think most big-time programs do. Now, they were able to get Drew Aller, so maybe the thing is trending in the right direction for James Franklin and his staff. But a lot of these programs don't have trouble getting those quarterbacks. So what's interesting to me is the teams like Illinois, Indiana, Purdue, those teams have to try to find lightning in a bottle. And we've seen it work out. We'll talk about this, I'm sure, later. Like Luke Altmyer, a perfect fit at Illinois. Last year, Curtis Work, perfect fit at Indiana. And then you got the flip side of that, right? Like you had guys Northwestern who were not able to get it going. You had Iowa's quarterback situation. As good as their defense has been, they've probably had the worst quarterback situation in the Big Ten for the last at least three seasons, right?
At least.
You made the joke before we started recording that in an 18-team conference, Iowa's got the 19th best quarterback, right? So it's just kind of that, like, that to me is what's more interesting, because you almost always know that the Michigans, Ohio States, now they may have an off year like Michigan had last year where you don't have an elite level quarterback, but by and large those programs are going to get the big time quarterbacks. It's what do the Illinois, Purdue's, Indiana's, Northwestern's, what do those teams do in the transfer portal, or do they go out and recruit and hope that they can find lightning in a bottle with an under recruited player and maybe somebody that they can get 3 or 4 years out of?
You're exactly right. And when we come back, as we're up against the break here, Dustin, I do want to talk about what do those teams, the non-Oregon, Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State teams, what do they do? And is there a model that they could follow to get where they need to be? And I think that you mentioned Indiana. I think, again, Kurt Cernetti, he's showing what that model is. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Sports Illustrated Big Ten writer Dustin Schutte. This is quarter number three of our show. We're talking about quarterbacks in the Big Ten, and we're talking about, Ohio State's at the one end of this spectrum. They can get almost any quarterback they want. They have a loaded, loaded quarterback room, and they can still go out and get Will Howard, okay? a talented veteran quarterback. And you brought up the great point. It's the question becomes, what do they do if you're not those teams? If you're in Indiana, if you're in Illinois, and you also mentioned Iowa, and they have the 19th best quarterback in an 18-team conference, it also leads to, what does the program look like? Does it matter who the quarterback is if you're going to Northwestern or to Purdue last year? And it's interesting. I'm doing another show this week, and I was doing my planning for it. And it was an NFL show about the quarterback situation and the free agent quarterbacks. And I started to look at the quarterbacks who are moving around, like Sam Darnold. Well, he's just signed with the Seahawks, but I looked at his career. He had this great season with the Vikings last year. Prior to that, he had time with the Jets. Didn't work out so well.
We're shocked by that.
By the way, Geno Smith goes from Seattle to the Raiders. He had played pretty well for the Seahawks. Looked at his history. Oh, his worst years were with, guess which team, Dustin?
The Jets.
The Jets. Then I'm looking at the next free agent who changed teams. Justin Fields going to the Jets.
R.I.P.
Exactly. So I think having, the program that could develop the quarterback is part of this conversation. And I didn't mean to turn this in. Well, I guess I did, trashing the Jets segment. But you were talking about how interesting it is. Now, it was only 1 year, but Indiana, Curtis Rourke, boy, what a great marriage that was last year. And it looks to me like Kirk Cignetti is looking to do the exact same thing with the quarterback that he brought in from Cal, who was pretty good on a pretty bad Cal team.
Yeah, you're Fernando Mendoza, who threw for over 3,000 yards, had 16 touchdowns and just 6 interceptions last season. Like, what's interesting, I'm just going to go on this brief aside because it is kind of tied in here a little bit. But we talked about, you know, do you go out and you recruit the 4 or 5-star top 100 kid and bring him into play right away? But what's interesting to me, Jim, is almost all of these coaches, you'll see when they're going to the transfer portal, what are they getting? Experience, right? Like, everybody still wants that experience. So it's just coming in a different form. Usually you'd have that, like we said, in a red shirt sophomore or a true junior or senior who's taking your snaps. I think what Kirk Cignetti has, and it's not that his staff can't develop quarterback talent, but it's like, we want the guys that already have the skills. So that way, all they have to do is learn our offense and they're going to fit in, because we think we can teach our offense to just about anybody. Now, we'll let somebody else handle the development part, but if we see and we go, you're basically just recruiting, right? But you know that this is a high-level player, and it worked out really well with Curtis Rourke last season, and I think it's probably going to work out pretty well with Fernando Mendoza. Now, am I saying they're going to be an 11-1 team that's going to the college football playoff again? I don't know. But I do think that in this sort of situation, it's now maybe eventually it'll be easier to recruit to Indiana if you can sustain this sort of success, or at least get to, you know, 8 to 10 wins per season, something in that category. But this is I mean, you can't fault Kurt Cignetti. It worked extremely well this past season at Indiana's first year with Curtis Rourke. I think they got a really good one in Fernando Mendoza going into this season. Now, the one question I will have that's going to be really interesting, Jim, is that was a team, and this is getting off of the quarterbacks, that was a team that was loaded with James Madison talent. And I don't mean that just from like a
– yes.
They were really good G5, but they had that connectivity. They had that chemistry. They knew what the coaching staff wanted. So what's it look like now when you have to kind of cobble together a team where you have to assemble, okay, we're going to get guys from the transfer portal from this team, we got members of last year's team, we're bringing in recruits. How's it going to be a little bit different this year when a bulk of your team aren't those James Madison players?
Well, just a side note, though, with Indiana and the James Madison players, they still have a few of them left.
They do.
Who are really good players.
They do. They, for no doubt, but they don't. They also don't have some of those 6th and 7th years guys left. So there's
right,
there, it will be a little bit different.
It will. Now, the other thing, if you're in Indiana, you're not going to get a Bryce Underwood that Michigan got this year.
Right.
You're just not going to. Okay. You can't compete financially, name wise, all of that. So might it actually behoove you to use the strategy of here's Fernando Mendoza went to Cal. Okay. The fact that he went to Cal, I didn't look it up, but I doubt he was a 4 or 5-star player. And there's a bunch of those guys, let's just make it easy and say generic 3-star guys, who they go to the lesser programs, and we start to find out who is the cream of that group. And, you know, a year ago, it was Curtis Rourke. And an opportunity opens up at Indiana where he knows he's now playing Big Ten football. He's playing for a good coach. Now, especially after that precedent has been set, if I'm, you know, a 3-star guy playing at a smaller school, has played and racked up some pretty good numbers, I might look at Indiana and say, there's an opportunity for me. So it actually, this is only the second year with Kirk Cignetti there, and I don't know what his quarterback recruiting has looked like from high school, but he has certainly shown there's a model that you could use. And if you look around the Big Ten, last year it was the vast majority of players that started at Big Ten schools were transfers. The guy who came in and stayed at his school was the exception to the rule.
Yeah.
So, you know, it leads me, though, to ask about, I mentioned Bryce Underwood going to Michigan, that 5-star that they paid a lot of money to get him to Michigan. Is it just throw him to the fire? Is he like this year's Dylan Raiola from Nebraska last year? Highly, highly, highly regarded and recruited guy. And you throw him to the fire and get him experience right away. Because if you don't, he may leave.
Yeah, I think that that's the balance that these coaches have to find, right? How much do I trust my guy if I don't play him? Is he going to stick around? And I think that that answer, and it's no fault of these – well, I shouldn't say no fault of these kids. It's half the fault of these kids. But also also the opportunity and circumstance, right? Like if they have the opportunity to transfer, there are – if Bryce Underwood, depending on what's important to him, right? Like if he just wants to go out and play and he's not playing at Michigan, there are – there are like 70 other teams that would be happy – to offer Bryce Underwood a scholarship, get him an NIL deal, and have him be their starting quarterback. So I think that in those certain circumstances, unless it's night and day, and we saw the quarterback situation at Michigan last year, like there's probably not going to be much competition. Unless it's a night and day difference, I think most coaches are probably going to start that freshman in hopes that they can get him for at least three seasons. Right. Cause that way you don't have to go to the portal. You kind of get that experience. Even I don't want to say Michigan's going to have a throwaway year. I don't want to put that out there, but maybe it's under the understanding that, hey, if you're our starting quarterback, we may not be a playoff team in year one, but we could be in year two and three if things kind of go the way we're planning. So I think a lot of times these coaches' hands are tied because they don't want to lose that type of prospect. But at the same time, like you have to keep in mind that these coaches have to do what's best for the school or the university, or else they're going to lose their job.
Well, I think you also have Michigan coming off an off season, the fans well aware of this kid's name. And I think they'll give a little more slack this year. It's not like Ohio State where last year, let's face it, 2 years ago, and I want to get into Ohio State a bit here, they were, 10-2, and Kyle McCord was run out of town.
Yeah.
And you had all this talent. And Ohio State wasn't going to be able to go to one of these talented young quarterbacks they had because the pressure was on the win this year, the way it is every year. So you go and get a Will Howard. But what I find fascinating is you look at Ohio State last year, there's like five quarterbacks who are at that level, and you already had Brown and Aaron Nolan already transfer, but there were so many guys there. I remember, Dustin, before the season started, I put the over-under of number of transfer quarterbacks at Ohio State this season was going to be 2.5, and I would have bet the over. Well, two are already gone, and I'll bet you I'll win my bet because a third one will go in the spring.
Yeah, probably. And that's gone are the days it seems like. And this is a situation where I think you could have said it at Ohio State, and you could have certainly said it at Penn State. But those old Florida teams where they had Chris Leak and Tim Tebow and used both guys, like Penn State had some set plays. I shouldn't say set plays. My man's in basketball mode still. They had some some designed plays for Bo Prabula. And yes, at times, Ohio State a couple years ago, Devin Smith would come in and he was a better ball carrier. So they would have, not very often, but they would have a few designed plays for that. So you can see, Jim, even in those circumstances, that's not good enough. Was it Will Levis at Penn State?
Yes.
He came in and played – even different positions, or he would come in and play quarterback. I think he lined up at wide receiver a time or two. But like you could just maneuver those guys around and kind of work them in and say, you know what, you're not our starting quarterback yet, but we're going to find ways to get you on the field. We're going to run these unique packages if we think there's something you can offer. But even that, at those big time schools at Penn State, at Ohio State, even that's not good enough. So it's a really interesting situation that we got with the college football quarterback situation.
It really is, Dustin, and we've got lots more to talk about. I want to hit on the different teams. Let's talk about some of the players at these different schools, especially at the top, the Oregons, the Ohio States, the Michigans, the Penn State. We're going to do that when we come back, Dustin, right after this break. So stay tuned.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Dustin. I'm Jim. We're talking the quarterback position in the Big Ten. Dustin, just a quick little note. You mentioned, you know, Penn State a couple of years ago using Will Levis, having special package for him. Now, he ended up playing in the NFL, so he's a pretty good quarterback. And there were Penn State fans who wanted Will Levis to play over Sean Clifford at the time. But here's a big kid with a big arm. Like I said, went fairly high in the draft, I think early second round, although a lot of people thought he was going to go in the first round. But anyway, he was in for their quarterback sneak, their fourth and one, third and one packages. At one point, 17 consecutive plays that he played, he carried the ball.
It's a good stat.
Yeah, so that was kind of interesting. All right, we're talking about, I think Ohio State is like the poster child for everything about college football. You know, they had Kyle McCord, who 10-2 wasn't good enough. He moved on, and he's going to be drafted. He'll be an NFL quarterback. They bring in, even though they had lots of young talent, they brought in Will Howard to come in. So they now have talent. The one other aspect of this is Julian Sain, who actually committed to Alabama originally and went there and quickly went to Ohio State. He's generally accepted as going to be the guy. But you know what? You can't say that, Dustin. You can't, because so fearful of injury, so fearful of transfers. Ryan Day, well, it's going to be a quarterback competition. They're all in it in the spring, and he's probably not going to announce a starter till August. So keep these kids thinking they still got a chance.
Yeah. And look, when I first started covering Big Ten football in like 2014, that was my first introduction to don't read into anything these coaches are saying, because they would always talk about how there's a big battle at quarterback. And no, there's not. They usually have in some cases, yes, there is an actual battle going on that comes down until fall camp. But a lot of these places, like, you know who your starter is going to be. The team knows who the starter is going to be. I don't know why they don't just say it, but whatever. Yeah, I mean, Ohio State is always in the catbird seat when it comes to the quarterback position. And I think part of that is not just the fact that they get the best talent, but obviously Ryan Day has proven himself as a really good developer of quarterback talent. You know, for the longest time, like in his, I think it was his first three seasons, like he had Justin Fields, Dwayne Haskins, and CJ Stroud were all Heisman finalists, basically. Like those, he did an excellent job developing that talent. So I think a lot of teams wish they were in Ohio State's position, where they could afford to get rid of a 10-2 quarterback and bring in somebody who then leads you to a national championship.
Well, yes. So hey, they just flood the position with talent and they go from there. Now let's look around, you know, the rest of the league. I mentioned briefly Dylan Raiola from Nebraska, highly, highly ranked guy. First year, a little bit up and down, but Nebraska ended with a winning record. Do you see him now with that year of experience, which we talked about so much, having experience, is he ready to make the big jump?
I don't know. And that sounds like a down the middle answer, but I don't know it because it is right. Like, let's call it like it is. I think he's good enough to, but I don't know what a big jump would be. Now, I think he played really well, it seemed, early in the season. And so I kind of wonder if the grind of a college football season, having the pressure on him to win games in that environment, I do wonder if that kind of weighed on him as the season went along. There are some things he's got to improve on. He's got to be able to tuck the ball and run at times. There were times he would just hold onto the ball way too long and take a sack. He wouldn't throw the ball away. So he's got to learn to tuck it and run, even if that means picking up 2 or 3 yards and you slide, or just getting back to the line of scrimmage. You can't take those sacks. So I think him playing, he probably learned a lot. I'm not ready to say he's going to be like the best quarterback in the Big Ten, but can be he be a top five quarterback in the Big Ten? I think if he's able to do that, then Nebraska's in really good shape.
I think so too. And I think there's a lot. You described a lot of things that we could have said about Drew Aller.
Yeah.
In his first year starting, that, you know, and I think those are the kind of things that come with the feel for the position. Now, we've mentioned, you know, Dante Moore now at Oregon. He's a transfer, but he's not. He had a year at UCLA, got to sit a year at Oregon, now ready to take over. He's got the much better team, say, than Raiola does at Oregon. So that's a big difference. What do you expect from Dante Moore?
Probably the same thing we saw from Bo Nix and Dylan Gabriel. And this is – it's kind of like the same thing with Ohio State, right? Like when you when it's just been something you've seen over time, you just kind of expect that. So you expect the quarterback position at Ohio State to play at a high level. And what I suspect we'll see from Dante Moore is just get the ball to the playmakers. Right? Like that's how Bo Nix and Dylan Gabriel. Now, I think Bo Nix did a better job of stretching the field, throwing the ball down the field. Dylan Gabriel certainly had that in his bag. But when they got in tough situations, they could also just get the ball to Tez Johnson, you know, on a 2 yard out route, and he could turn it into a 15 yard gain. And so that's what I guess I suspect that Oregon's offense, because of the playmakers, because of their speed and their ability to play make, I suspect he's going to have another quarterback that I think puts up big numbers. And again, I go back to this. I said it all last year and I'll say it again this year. Like, I know Dan Lanning doesn't have a ton of experience with this, but anybody who is able to turn Bo Nix into a Heisman caliber quarterback, considering what he did at Auburn. Now he had some flashes at Auburn, but he also looked like the worst quarterback in the SEC at times. Anybody that's able to do that with Bo Nix, in my opinion, has generated the benefit of the doubt. And so that's why I think that you'll see a strong season from Dante Moore. I don't know that he's going to be the best quarterback in the Big Ten. I think he'll put up some big numbers. My big question is going to be, can he stretch the field? Because I think those are some areas where, look, Oregon went undefeated and won the Big Ten, right? So we're getting really nitpicky here. But the ability to stretch the field, I think, is really important for Oregon, because at some point in the season, you're going to play an Ohio State, a Penn State, a Michigan, who can kind of snuff out and has the athleticism to match those short passing routes, and you're not going to be able to just get the ball to a receiver 2 yards out and expect to pick up 15 yards every play.
Let's talk about Drew Aller at Penn State. I'm interested in your take as the Big Ten guy, a little bit of, you know, you're not within the Penn State bubble.
Yeah, I think Drew Aller made some big strides this past year. As a freshman, I think we saw it more, and I used to have this stat, Jim, but I don't have it anymore. He was significantly better. I think he was almost 60% or higher in his completion percentage in home games, and then he went on the road and it was below 50%, at least for a majority of the season. Now, I don't know if that, you know, leveled out towards the end, but it seemed like those environments, those things we talked about with Dylan Raiola, getting the feel, he really seemed to struggle with as a freshman. He looked like a seasoned veteran last year. And I'm sure part of that was having that full year of experience. The other part of that is having Andy Kotelnicki, who's, in my opinion, probably a more suitable more suitable offensive coordinator for what James Franklin wants to do, and is probably a little bit more quarterback friendly. In terms of Drew Aller, I'd still like to see him maybe be able to do a little bit more with his feet. But again, I think that's being awfully nitpicky. I think that Drew Aller will be a top three quarterback in the Big Ten this season. Whether that's enough to get Penn State, you know, into the national championship picture or not, I don't know. But I was impressed with his development. I don't think he wasn't the kind of guy who like all of a sudden went from, you know, freshman quarterback to suddenly Heisman caliber, but he doesn't need to be. Penn State's got enough talent around him where if he just is one of those kids that, and I think that Penn State has done a good job with every year, it seems like their quarterbacks get a little bit better. And I think that that's going to be the case with Drew Aller. I think he's going to get even better than it was last year. And that doesn't mean he's going to be a Heisman Trophy finalist, but I think that that's going to put Penn State in a really good position to get back to the Big Ten championship game, to win 10 or 11 games in the regular season. So we'll see. I think sometimes a lot of the blame falls on the quarterback when you're not winning. And I think maybe Drew Aller took a little bit of that brunt in his first season. But one of those things where I don't know you don't even have to look at the stats. It just looks better, right? When the eye test tells you it's better. And I think that was the case for him last year. So that's why I'm excited to see what he does in his third season.
I think the final impression people got was that Notre Dame game, the interception late, and he didn't play particularly well. But the one thing he did do this year, when people have said he's never had the responsibility on his shoulders to win a game, go back and watch the USC comeback, and you'll change your mind. All right, in the last couple minutes we have left, Dustin, who are the quarterbacks in the conference that we haven't talked about that we should?
Yeah, this is the guy that I think is the best quarterback in the Big Ten, and that's Luke Altmyer. And look, I know that maybe sound crazy because he's at Illinois, but what he was able to do, get them to a 10-win season. I don't know that he's a game man. He just is one of those guys and I think this is an underrated quality maybe, but he can rally the troops. Like, guys rally around him. They seem to like him, want to play for him. And so I think that that's an underrated quality. And he had a really solid season for the Illini last year. And the big reason why they did get 10 wins. I mean, not huge numbers, just over 2,700 yards, 22 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. He does have the ability to run the football. He completed 61% of his passes. And at a place like Illinois, where you don't have the most talent, like you're not lining up the field with Ohio State or Penn State talent. So for him to be able to do that in that situation, I think is really impressive. And now that he's going to be in there another season, and major shout out to that kid, because as we talked about the transfer portal and kids wanting to leave, Illinois is not a big time program. I'm sure he could have gotten some other NIL deals at someplace else. Now, I don't know who was not busting down the door to get him, but he probably could have gone to at least a step up in terms of program. He's going to stay at Illinois. And that's why I think that they have, like we talked about last year with Rutgers, I think this is going to turn out a little bit better than Rutgers. Illinois would be my dark horse team to make a playoff push this season because he's coming back.
All right, very good. And if you look at their schedule, I think it's pretty conducive also for them. And I also think Brett Bielema is an underrated coach. Dustin, that is going to be it for the show. A lot of fun talking Big Ten quarterbacks with you. Thank you, Dustin. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesdays, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.